KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 44 degrees. We look for skies to be partly cloudy today with a chance of isolated showers, mainly this afternoon, a high of 64. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A study of some 15 years of data on mosquitoes in Iowa finds you're most likely to contract the West Nile virus from the pests buzzing around the western side of the state. Iowa State University entomologist Ryan Smith said the research is the first time they've been able to get an idea of the pattern of West Nile transmission.
Those counties in the western region of the state seem to be at much higher risk, and at least kind of one of the kind of other major conclusions from our study is that that also seems to correlate with the presence of a certain mosquito, Culex tarsalis, which is also found predominantly in that region.
Smith said the research indicates the ecology of the western counties is a big factor.
This species really kind of likes, kind of more kind of farmland area, especially that is like irrigated farmland. It really thrives in those little kind of ditches and runoff kind of areas that you might have associated with these areas.
And the ISU Medical Entomology Laboratory conducts yearly surveillance of mosquito populations using a network of traps across the state that are regularly emptied and the mosquitoes inside are cataloged. Smith said they reviewed the Iowa data from between 2002 and 2016, and he said the study mirrors those from Nebraska and South Dakota with this mosquito on West Nile transmission, and he says it continues all the way to California.
You can almost draw a line kind of through the middle of Iowa, and everything to the left is where you can find this one, and everything to the right is where you wouldn't expect it.
But Smith cautions this does not mean you can't get the West Nile virus from other mosquitoes in the state.
This mosquito seems to be a little bit better at transmitting West Nile virus, but it doesn't mean that other mosquitoes that we have throughout the state aren't also involved. There are several different mosquito species that can transmit West Nile, and we do find those throughout Iowa. So our study doesn't say that they're not involved. It's just saying that the one that's most likely involved in human cases is this Culex tarsalis mosquito.
Smith said you should follow the state health department recommendations and use a mosquito repellent with DEET and cover up exposed areas when you're going to be out at times when any mosquitoes might be active. Smith said research answers some of the questions about West Nile transmission, but there are other questions such as the impact of weather.
We're starting to understand, how some of these factors influence it, but even 15 years of data isn't fully enough, I don't think, to really understand what's going on. But there's no doubt that weather patterns definitely have an effect on our mosquitoes and on transmission.
Iowa had 103 cases of the West Nile virus in 2018 with 5 deaths. The Department of Public Health says people who are infected with West Nile may not experience any signs or symptoms. Some people experience minor symptoms like fever and mild headache. Others, however, can develop a life-threatening illness that includes inflammation on the brain or encephalitis. Iowans need to take even greater caution when hunting for morel mushrooms this spring, as so much of the state is or has been flooded. Linda Rodriguez Salonuka, a plant pathologist with the Iowa State University Extension, says even if you're a seasoned morel hunter, be very careful before picking up any of your rare treasures.
Inspect them thoroughly. Inspect the morel specimens so they don't have any slimy look, water-soaked areas, fussy, powdery look, all that stuff. It will be good to avoid things that don't look pristine and normal. Any signs of decay, it will be good to avoid.
Floodwaters often carry a range of chemicals, sewage, and other pollutants, and even if the standing water is now gone, she says some of those harmful contaminants may be left behind.
Know the site. If it's a site that is known to have a high risk of pollutants, I would recommend caution and avoid it because chances are there may be a residue there.
While the cool, wet weather may promote the growth of this year's morel crop, other organisms thrive in the moist environment that can be unhealthy. She notes that mushrooms can act like sponges, soaking up both the good and bad elements around them.
They have the ability to absorb and, in some cases, just accumulate what is around them because they're very good at extracting nutrients from nature, including, anything that we may have put in there.
She says to avoid picking morels in areas where fish and animals have died or in areas where there are animal droppings. And as always with wild mushrooms, make absolutely sure what you're picking is a morel and not something poisonous. Well, the University of Iowa is hosting wildlife day camps in several state parks this summer, and there's still time to sign up. Summer day camps are for 3rd through 7th graders and taught by teachers, naturalist staff, and college students. Kids will learn about animals, ecology, and the outdoors in a fun, safe environment. The day camps are held Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. each day. And nearby camps for this year include Springbrook State Park at Guthrie Center from June 17th through the 21st, Stone Park in Sioux City from June 24th to the 28th, Waubonsie and Hamburg from July 15th to July 19th. The Prairie Rose Day Camp will be in Harlan, that's near Harlan, from July 22nd to the 26th, and Lake Manawat, Council Bluffs. That day camp takes place July 22nd through the 26th as well. In other news, a call to Clarinda Police Wednesday afternoon from a local bank resulted in the arrest of a man on forgery, theft, and drug charges. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brother says officers responded to the unidentified bank where 21-year-old Jason Lee Sarabia Jr. of Brodyville had allegedly presented a forged check in an attempt to obtain cash. Officers arrested Sarabia Jr. on a felony forgery and felony theft charge, along with a misdemeanor possession of marijuana charge. He was taken into custody without incident and held in the Page County Jail on $11,000 bond. Additional charges against him are anticipated pending the completion of an investigation into the incident. A friend of a 19-year-old Sioux City resident accused of stabbing to death his ex-girlfriend and another man testified that the defendant said he wanted to talk to the girl about their breakup and that he needed closure. The defendant, Tran Walker, has pleaded not guilty to 2 counts of first-degree murder. He's accused of killing 17-year-old Peyton Sullivan and 18-year-old Felipe Negron Jr. Police say Walker was in a car with the other two on January 28th of last year when he stabbed Sullivan and then Negron and tried to intervene. Walker's friend Aaron Brand said at a non-jury trial that began Thursday that Walker was very hurt. Sullivan's stepmother, Stevie Sullivan, testified that Walker and Sullivan broke up because he didn't want her to finish school. A man from Nebraska died late Thursday night during a single-vehicle rollover accident south of Williamsburg in northern Iowa's Hamilton County. The state patrol says 41-year-old Justin Daniel Myring of Lincoln, Nebraska, was eluding law enforcement during a pursuit while driving a 2003 Ford Mustang. The car, which was traveling at a high rate of speed, failed to negotiate a curb and rolled over. Myring, who was wearing a seatbelt, died at the scene. The accident happened around 11:30 p.m. Thursday at 220th Street and Vale Avenue. News was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.